What do we want from our physicians? Skills? Sure. A laser-sharp brain? A steady hand? Absolutely. But we want something else. Kindness. Empathy.
It's really a practice of witnessing and walking beside.
It's different from sympathy, which might involve pity or feeling a patient's suffering. Empathy means acknowledging, understanding the patient's plight. And when physicians exhibit this quality, it affects medical outcomes.
We have shown that patients who are treated by empathic physicians are better off.
Some doctors do this naturally. Others, not so much.
That level of connection is just not part of their skill set.
Can they learn? Can empathy be grown and nurtured? How do you measure empathy? A lot of questions, and we'll get to them. But first, let's hear two stories that set the scene. Andrea Karabetzes lives in New York City. She's a writer. One night, she had horrific pelvic pain and strange bumps on her abdomen. She decided to go to the emergency room, and after a long wait, the doctor came in and basically said, "What do you want me to do about it?"
And I said, "I have all this pelvic pain. It's the worst it's ever been today. I'm really scared because the painkillers I was given aren't even working. And I'm really scared something's really wrong with me and I don't know what to do." And she goes, "You have painkillers. Why are you here?" Like I was wasting her time. Like I wasn't scared and using the emergency room as a last resort. So after I started crying and said, "Because I have no other place to go and I'm scared that something's wrong with me, I don't know if something's going to burst or what." And she goes, "Well, let me give you a pelvic exam then." So this mean doctor who snapped at me and asked me why I was wasting her time then gave me a pelvic exam, after which she felt the weird bumps in my abs and said, "Oh, we'll see what we can do."
Karabetzes has since been diagnosed with a pelvic muscle disorder, and she is receiving treatment for that. When a doctor lacks empathy, it can make patients feel ashamed, belittled, vulnerable. For Philadelphian Adrian Berger, lack of empathy colored a life-changing moment. She was sitting with her dying mother in a hospital room. Her mother had been taken off life support, and it was only a matter of time.
And then the doctor, who was very young, physician, possibly a resident, I don't know, came in. He did the checkup, and then he just came to me very devoid of compassion and very mechanical and said, "The patient expired at so-and-so time." And it was a very painful moment for me. And it was the kind of situation where if you had just taken a short minute to think of who you're talking about. You know, it's not just a nameless, a faceless patient, but it's a woman who had a life, and her name was Jeanette Berger. And you're sitting across from her daughter, who is Adrian Berger, who is going through a very painful moment. And just maybe put his hand on my shoulder briefly, or, you know, I'll say I'm sorry, or just a few words, it would have made quite a difference because, you know, this is a moment I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
Berger says for the doctor, it was just a tiny moment during his shift. Staying connected with patients and being present requires constant attention, says UPenn internist Karen Bowles.
It's definitely something that you have to do with intention.
Bowles says as you're listening to a patient, you can feel yourself being pulled into different directions, remembering calls you have to return, prescriptions that need to be filled. Maybe you're thinking about your last patient. One day this happened, and then she heard this.
"Dr. Bowles, are you looking in the chart of another patient while I am talking to you?" And I had to say yes.
And then what?
She appropriately said that she felt that that was not professional and that she didn't appreciate it. And I told her that I was sorry.
Bowles started mindfulness meditation over 10 years ago. It's the practice of being present in the moment, noticing your thoughts and guiding your attention back to what's happening right now. Bowles says it helps her truly be with patients.
So I might notice a thought that says, "I'm not getting this," or "I'm annoyed." And then my intention is to just actually let it go and then see if I can use eye contact, use my sense of my own body and their body language to come back and notice what's right in front of me. There's more of a sense of really trying to notice that moment when my mind steps away and making a conscious attempt over and over again to come right back.
Bowles now teaches mindfulness to other healthcare providers at the Penn Program for Mindfulness.
Now, some people believe that empathy is a myth.
At Jefferson University Hospital, Dr. Mohammad Reza Hojat is explaining empathy to third-year med students, and he's showing them movie clips. Each scene contains a teaching moment on empathy.
The terminal in 1217.
Terminal? What terminal? Bus terminal?
The dying patient in 1217.
A bit of background. Hojat is a professor in the Department of Psychiatry at Jefferson, a psychologist, and he's one of the leading researchers on the topic of empathy. His interest in human relationships drew him to this issue, but he studies it like a scientist.
You have to provide some tangible evidence that there is a relationship between X and Y.
Hojat developed the Jefferson Scale of Empathy, which measures and grades empathy in healthcare providers and med students through a series of questions. It's used all over the world and has been translated into 45 languages. Hojat says the scale has allowed his team to quantify the impact of empathy, for example, showing that diabetic patients cared for by empathic doctors are healthier. Hojat also used his scale to track empathy levels in med students over time.
Empathy of our medical students declines as students progress through medical school. And this erosion of empathy we observe is more significant in the third year of medical school, when the curriculum shifts toward patient care and when empathy is most needed.
What's your thinking? Why does empathy decline?
There are several reasons for that. First of all, I think the emphasis is mostly placed on teaching the science of medicine, which is fine. But there is a benign neglect in teaching the art of medicine.
Hojat says if empathy can go down, it can also go up.
And we have shown in our studies that we can improve a student's empathy and resident's empathy by exposing them to targeted educational programs. For example, if we show selected video clips from movies and discussing these video clips could enhance their understanding of patients' problem.
More than just saying, wow, that physician acted like a jerk, but analyzing, well, why was it acting like a jerk? You know, what about his behavior was offensive to us?
That's fourth-year medical student Jesse Edwards, who has attended Hojat's lecture.
Unfortunately, I think during the first and second year of medical school, all of our time, day and night, is focused on understanding diseases, understanding pathology, understanding how to treat diseases. And so the focus on patient care and understanding the patient is kind of lost in the first and second year.
Hojat says the interventions work, but there is a catch.
And the catch is that after 1 or 2 hours of exposing students to this program, or we call it workshop, you can see the increase in empathy score, which is great. But when we followed up these students 2 or 3 months later, the enhanced empathy scores went back to the original. So you have to reinforce it. You have to do more of it, probably exposing students every week, every month to some of these targeted programs in order to make it more sustained.